In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Today is All Saints Sunday in the Orthodox Church. It's the day we commemorate all the saints throughout all the ages. And it's kind of fascinating to follow the liturgical cycle, because we went through, of course, Great Lent and the Passion of our Lord. We went through the events in His life of His death, burial, and resurrection. We celebrated Great and Holy Pascha. 40 days later, we had His ascension into heaven and His sitting at the right hand of the Father. And just last Sunday, on Great Pentecost, we celebrated the descent of the Holy Spirit upon God's people. And we said that that's the birth of the Church, that descent of the Holy Spirit, kind of completing this work that God is doing, bringing us close to Him. So then the Sunday immediately after Pentecost is very fittingly designated All Saints Sunday. Right away, the Church is established, it's born, and what does it do? It starts producing saints. It starts making holy people. We might even say that the Church exists for that purpose, to create holiness, to bestow holiness, to make us holy saints. So we can ask, who are these saints, and what does that have to do with all of us? Are we saints? Do we know any saints? Well, in the epistle, we always like to point to verse 1 of chapter 12, when St. Paul, the author of Hebrews, says, "We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. These are the holy people of God who have gone before, the ones who in all of salvation history, as it says, conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, received promises, stopped the mouths of lions, etc., did all these wondrous works, the ones who attested to a belief and a faith and a trust in the God that's been revealed to us and that we worship today. And they're all around us. There's a great cloud of witnesses worshiping with us today. You know, we may not see them, although we do have icons up in the church. Our worship is set up that way. St. Raphael is over here in that middle column. St. George is on the first column. In addition, all the icons in the life of Christ, St. John Chrysostom back there, St. Mark the Evangelist, St. Demetrius up here, Saints Peter and Paul. We are surrounded. Even the ones we can't see are with us. They're praying with us. They are not dead. The saints are alive. Our Lord tells the ones who didn't believe in the resurrection that they don't know the Scriptures. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And He's called very clearly in the Old Testament Scriptures the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. These men are not gone and forgotten and obliterated. They are alive with God now, and they are praying with us and for us. They are part of that church triumphant that has already gone to foretaste the glory of the everlasting kingdom. So the saints are holy people. What makes them holy? We don't want to think that any of these great deeds that they did somehow made them holy people. The only holiness there is the holiness of the true God. So if we believe in Him and trust Him and base our whole conception of reality on Him, listen to Him and follow Him, then He allows us to partake in His very nature. That's what we believe. So we become holy through partaking in the life of God. And that happens very firmly in our belief in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know, if we know Him, if we have encountered Him, if we live a life in Him, and in Him means a life in the church, in the worship, in the Word of God, in the sacraments, if we do as He commands us, and He commands us to love, this new commandment I give you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that means that we're willing to give up our life for another person. We're willing to go that far in our expression of self-emptying love and concern for the other. So that's what allows us to partake in holiness. And if we believe in God and trust in Him, then our actions will show forth. These saints were able to do marvelous things. There's a whole list of them here in the epistle. They became mighty in war and put foreign armies to flight. They received their dead by resurrection. And then it goes into something that's kind of the flip side, and we have to address that today. The glory that comes with sharing in the glory of God for us now has to do with this other stuff. It says some of these saints were tortured. Others suffered mocking and scourging, even chains of imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn in two, tempted, even killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats. They were destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. So they really suffered, we might say. They suffered in the world. The world hated them, just as the world hated our Lord Jesus Christ. The world hated them, and they, in imitation of His suffering, were glad to be tempted, to be killed, to be sawn in two, etc. A lot of things have gone on in the last couple of weeks in our community here, you know, with the flooding, and we might see a lot of hopelessness around us. People have lost homes, they've lost businesses. Some people don't know what they're going to do. Whole communities have kind of just been wiped out. We wonder if our city will ever able to recover, you know, although we pray it will. And we wonder sometimes, and I've heard people ask, and it's okay to ask, you know, what is God doing here? Is God trying to punish us? Is He mad at us? What is He trying to tell us? Is God trying to tell us something? And we could say very firmly, yes, God is trying to tell us something. God is always trying to tell us something. He's always speaking to us, and He's very concerned about us and our life. Just because something dramatic happens, though, like a flood of historic proportions and lots of people hurting and suffering and maybe don't know where to turn right now, doesn't mean, though, that He's abandoned us. In fact, we would say most certainly God has not abandoned us. He may be punishing us. You know, we certainly don't love God enough. If we're honest with ourselves, we don't. We certainly don't recognize that He is God and He's in control. Because look how we try to control everything. Birth, death, the weather, if we could. You know, everything that God is master over, we as human beings try to get our hands in there and shape it according to our will, not realizing that He is in charge of it all. And sometimes the ways we do that are contrary to what He's expressed to us as His will in the Holy Scriptures. So maybe God is speaking to us, reminding us, saying, I am God, and I am in control. I make the weather, you know. I allow the crops to bring forth fruit in due season. I allow gentle rains to shower the earth. I allow the sun to rise every day and give warmth and heat and light to the earth. This is probably the message that's going on, and we just need to be reminded. But on the other hand, we don't want to feel that God has abandoned us, because the saints, if we look at their lives, everything they went through, they didn't feel that God abandoned them. They were not destroyed utterly. They were killed with the sword, but God still will raise them up to eternal life because they are holy and they are partaking in His very life now in the kingdom. So, you know, God may punish us a little bit. He may hurt us. He may slap us on the wrist. He may humiliate us, and it's okay because we need that. Doesn't mean He doesn't love us. In fact, it means the very opposite. It means that He does love us. He wants to form us and shape us into what He wants us to be, fit for heaven. And that's painful sometimes because we're so out of shape that when He does that forming, we say, ouch, God, you know, that hurts. Why are you breaking me? And he's breaking us. He's not smashing us completely, he's breaking us. There's a psalm verse that we always read as a prokimenon. It says, the Lord has punished me severely, but he has not delivered me over to death. God punishes us, but he doesn't deliver us to the enemy. He still, and because he wants us to be saved, he allows this punishment so that we might be built up again. So let's heed that message. You know, the other good thing that comes out of like a flood and a disaster and a hardship situation that hits a community like ours is we're given that opportunity to respond in love according to the will of God. And we've seen a lot of that. You know, we've seen the community come together just here at St. George, in fact, when we thought that the floodwaters from the creek were going to come into the church. There were about 50 people that came down with trucks and strong arms, and they sealed the doors and put sandbags outside, made sure that every precious thing we have in the church was off the ground, so that if that did happen, our beloved church would not be harmed. Very selfless and very loving in the action. People have been donating money and clothing and expressing their will to help those who are homeless. It's a great opportunity to love, so God gives us that. Maybe we were lacking opportunities to help others, to be charitable. Maybe God is reminding us that that's the only way we will partake of his holiness in the kingdom, if we learn how to imitate Jesus Christ in this world. So it's a great opportunity. Although there's disaster and suffering, those of us who've been blessed and are, you know, we have our homes, we have our resources still, we have our health, we're able to go out and build up those who don't have. So it's a great opportunity to love. Thank God for that. This, brothers and sisters in Christ, is what we do in the world now until our Lord comes again. We love, we listen to his commandments, we worship him as Lord in the community of the church, we participate in the sacraments, and we await his coming in glory, in faith. We don't give up. We never say God is not there, God has deserted us, God has delivered us over to death, because he will not do that, and he has not done that. He is building us up into people of God fit for heaven. So thank God for that, and thank God for all of his saints who are with us today, the ones we see in the icons, the ones we don't see, all of the ones who are our patrons, the ones we're named after. We pray that God would be merciful to us through their prayers. And we ask that he would deliver us from all calamity and wrath to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.